Good morning, church, family. God is, as they sang that first song, God is reading these scriptures through me. I will be reading 2 Chronicles 7, verses 11 to 15. When Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace and had succeeded in carrying out all he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord, and in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, I have heard your prayers and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain or command locusts to devour the land or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Verses 15. Now my eyes will be open, my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his words. Amen.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I had to take off that jacket. Yes, we came in from Florida, and for some reason, it's hot in here. So please feel welcome, those of you who feel similar to me. Any English professors in here? Okay, if that's correct. Please feel welcome to take off your jackets while we go through the rest of the service. It is good to be here. It's been a while in coming. Last summer we were here and a little birdie put it onto our heart. Holy Spirit started working and voila, here we are. Amen. Now, you asked my wife or me, 1 year ago, if we had a vision of this happening, we would say not in our greatest dreams. So because of y'all's prayers and everything else, we're up here. We're still going through some changes, trying to get settled in, and we'd like to solicit your prayers because we know that prayers work, right?
Yes.
Okay, I beg to differ. Prayers don't do nothing. God does, okay? We just communicate, right? We have a closing on the house that's scheduled on Friday, so if you all will be in prayer for that, we'd really appreciate that. Before we go on and before we get into the message this morning, I want to introduce some very special people in my life. I mean, you all are special, but I'm talking about that little extra, okay? First, I want to introduce my son, my baby boy, okay? Michael, could you come up here, please? I want you all to take a good look at Michael. Now, Michael, he just had his rites of passage, so he is now considered by me to be a young man, okay? When he gets to be a man when I tell him he's a man, okay? So this is my son, Michael. Love him very much, and he loves... You want to tell him what you love? He loves basketball. He loves, football, sports, right? He loves any type of sports. But the thing that he's skillful most at is talking. He loves to talk, okay? One time I asked him, I said, Michael, he was about three or four years old. I said, Michael, why do you talk so much? He says, Daddy, I was born to talk. Okay? So this is Michael, right? The second one I want to introduce is my baby girl, Kelsey. Kelsey, could you come up here, please? Let the people meet you. Kelsey is my baby. Kelsey is very, very shy. So for her to walk up here now, it takes a lot. Okay? So everybody say, hi, Kelsey.
Hi, Kelsey.
Okay? Kelsey loves art. She loves fashion. She's a fashionista. Okay? I had to learn about being a dad through Kelsey because I had to learn patience. I grew up in an all-boys household, And when she's putting on her makeup, you know, that kind of, what's going on here, right? So I have to turn to my wife always and say, well, Lisa, is this a real issue or is this a Kenneth issue? And often she says it's a Kenneth issue. And often what Kelsey would do is the good clothes, how much does it cost to purchase clothes? A lot, right? And she would go and fashionize it. She would cut it up so that it can look swag, is the word? Okay? And of course, I get a little bit upset and karmate. Okay, so this is my daughter, Kelsey. The next person I'm going to introduce is no stranger to you. She's given me the eye. She's been giving me that eye since I met her, okay? You may know her as Lisa Williamson. I want to introduce Lisa. Could you come on up, please? This is my wife, Lisa. As I said last time I was here speaking, everyone knows Lisa. I'm the one that's a stranger here. I am Lisa's husband, okay? Her name is Lisa Williamson Barker, and actually I'm going to introduce her as Pastor Lisa, all right? She's an ordained pastor. She hates when I say that, right? There are other things that she hates, but I'll let her tell you that. So, brethren, Shepherd's Community Church, I'd like to introduce you to the Barker family. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Now, your blessing was accepted. One of the reasons, and they don't know this, that I call them out like this, I want you all to take a look at them. Okay? Because, you know, they're preacher's kids, you know, PK. I know them PKs, they got a reputation, right? And I don't want my kids to have that reputation. So I know that in some places, you know, the preacher kids, they're running around doing all kind of stuff, right? And people have second thoughts. So, well, that's the preacher's kids, I ain't going to say nothing, right? But the reason I brought you up here is so that I would charge you, please, if you see my kids messing up, doing wrong, which they do, right? You can feel free to correct them, right? So I just put that out there. I know you're shaking your head. We had this discussion already. Thank you very much. Okay. Right. So thank you. And today's message, the scripture has already been read, but I don't know. I just feel the charge to read it again, okay? And it says that the Lord appeared to him at night. Okay. And the hymn it's speaking about here is Solomon. Now, if you'd remember, it was quite a while before the temple of God had actually been built, right? Remember that God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and he charged them. He said, okay, you're going to build my house. But then things get into the way. Right? They had wars to fight, right? They had enemies to conquer. And of course, what happens is that they decided that they didn't want God to rule over them. So they decided that they wanted a king. Saul rose up as king. Saul was placed on the throne of Israel as the king. And then what happened later on is that Saul fell off the throne. David came, and David didn't build the house of God either. It wasn't until Solomon that the house of God got built. Now, we don't know exactly how long it took, right? What we do know is that in the scripture it talks about in 20 years, Solomon's palace and the house of God was built. We don't know if they were built concurrently at the same time or whether it was one at a time. But we do know that eventually the house of God was built. And he says that, I have heard your prayer. Now, after the house was built, Solomon dedicated the house to God. And we would read in the prior chapter the prayer that he offered up. Solomon was deep in prayer. Right? It was wholehearted, heartfelt, where he talked about the history of Israel. He talked about his fathers, right? And how they were in Egypt, they came out of Egypt, or they were brought out of Egypt, and they were brought into this promised land. And now he built this house, and he's asking God to accept this house as a house of prayer, as his place where people can come worship. So he says, I have heard your prayer. Now, does it mean that God doesn't hear prayer? No. God hears every prayer. But in the context here, and what is he actually saying is that I have heard your prayer, I agree with you, and I am going to answer this prayer in the affirmative. So he goes on, he says, I have chosen this place. This is the place that I've chosen. This is the place I've chosen for myself as a temple of sacrifice. I mean, that is quite an honor, right? That Solomon spent so much time building this place to dedicate it to God according to the specifications that God laid out. And all of a sudden, God comes to Solomon at night and he says, yes, this is my house. Could you imagine how Solomon felt at that time? But then God goes on to say, when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among the people, if my people, big if my people, now we start to look at conditions. Now God is starting to give the condition, right, upon which his people must live, abide by, so that God starts to answer prayer, right? He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal this place, the land. Conditions. You see, if we were to look back at our lives, can we truly say that the conditions that God set forth here, that we've met those conditions? See? And as I was preparing this message, I started to think also, if God is to be answering prayer, then what are the prayers that God is to be answering? I remember we were here last week, and Mr. High made a statement. And we've been in contact with Mr. High quite often over the past few months. We had our regular telephone conversations, right? And one of the things that he brought up during those conversations, as well as last week, he said that he has brought the church as far as he can, and it's going to take someone else to move it forward. Now, while we were in the process of this move, I was praying. I've been in continual prayer. And one of the prayers I talked to God about, I said, Dad, do you really know what you're doing? Okay. Not that I doubt, right, his sovereignty. Is that a word? Sovereignty, okay. That's why I have my wife, okay. Not that I doubt his sovereignty, okay. But what I was thinking of is me. I mean, who am I? I look at the legacy that's been left behind, okay? Who are some of the pastors and people of this denomination that has passed through this congregation, right? We have Mr. Harold Jackson, right? We have they weren't necessarily pastors, but they came through here. We had Mr. Stan Bass. I eventually worked with Mr. Bass in the Puerto Rican office, the Caribbean Regional Office. We have Mr. Hampton, you all know the names, right? We have Mr. Barr, right? We have Mr. High. We have Mr. Blackwell. Who else? Mr. Perkins. You all know more than I do. You should, okay? And I look back and I pray and I say, God, look at this legacy of people. How am I supposed to fill these shoes? And immediately the answer came back. He says, Kenneth, I'm not asking you to fill the shoes. I'm just asking you to do what I say. Right? And with that in mind, I said, well, okay, you know what you're getting into. Because I tell this quite often, and I accept it. I'm weird. Okay? I'm a strange dude. Sometimes there's no rhyme or reason, and I pray to God. I say, God, just keep me in line, please. All I got to do is to keep praying and keep close to you, stick close to you, and then things would happen well. Right? Amen? And then I thought about it, and we prayed and prayed. And I've had the opportunity to speak to many of you in the congregation about the history of Shepherd's Community Church. Right? And I don't think that there's one person in here that can actually doubt that God placed this particular congregation of Grace Communion International into this specific building, in this specific city, at this particular time, right? What is the reason? There can only be one reason that God placed us here. Now, do we need to go into all of the miracles that happened that led to your being placed here, or you all are very familiar with those things? I need an answer. Are we very familiar? Okay, beautiful. So no need to go into that. But there's only one reason that God could place us here in the city of Harvey. While we were preparing to come here, my wife, she's a researcher. I'm not. Okay? She researched the city of Harvey, and it's interesting that the city of Harvey was started by one of Moody's really, really good friends. And the purpose for which he started the city is as a model as to what a Christian city should be. And then we look out into Harvey today, and we see that there's 22% unemployment, poverty higher than the national average. You walk around the city, and all we see are boarded up buildings. So we ask, what is our purpose here? And I believe, and in speaking with many of you all, I can say that we believe that the purpose of Shepherd's Community Church in Harvey is to show the love of God in Harvey. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Beautiful. So now we know that God moves forward. It is not our work, right? Gone are the times where we believe that it is our work. I need to get this work done. People, left up to me, ain't nothing going to get done. Oh, sorry. Let me rephrase. Left up to me, there is nothing that will get done. Okay? Because I tell people already, I don't like much work. I operate in my discomfort zone all the time. Why? Because I'm lazy. Right? I'm telling you straight up. But we have a work to do. Right? And because we have this work to do, and because we are trying to find out from God exactly how do we fit in to this picture, because God is already working here, right? God is already working here. God calls us to join him where he is working, right? To help, not to help, but to participate with him in the work that he's doing, in the work that's already been started. So my question to God for over the past few months is, what specifically do you want us to do? How can we as a congregation participate with you? And the only way that we can do that as a congregation is we got to pray.
Amen.
Right? We have to get on our knees, and we have to invoke Holy Spirit, and we have to pray and ask God, God, what is it that you desire of us? How can we participate in this work? You see, we are joining God in the work that he's already started. Right. Title of the sermon is When God's People Pray. Right. In your bulletins, you will say that when prayer changes things, right? And then there's the line through it. You can take a look at the back of your bulletin. There's a line through the things, and it changes. It says, prayer changes me. And as we go through the rest of this message, what I want you to do is take a look at me. Not me, but you, right? We are taking a look at me, seeing how is it possible? What is it that God is telling me? It says that if my people, right? And immediately we see that, you know, God here is, he's setting it up. If my people, who are God's people? We are all God's people. God's people are those people who've entered into a covenant relationship with him. What is that covenant relationship? Right? The covenant relationship is quite simple. God says, I want you. I want you, Don. And the covenant, what our part of the covenant? Yes, God. I mean, we can go through the scriptures and we can pull out scripture after scripture and we could put together this whole long theological discussion, but all it comes down to is God wants you. And the relationship is such that all we say is, yes, God. Right? And he says, if my people who are called by my name, you know, it's an incredible thing to be called by somebody's name, right? Any of you all been a kid before? One person? Okay, all right. Remember when you used to go out and your parents say, remember who you are. Don't bring shame upon me, right? When people offer you something, take one, don't shame me, right? Why? Because we carry the family name, right? And God has seen to it that we carry the family name, right? If my people, right, who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, what does that mean and how do we do that, right? The scripture talks about David. David was a man after God's own heart, right? And quite often we look at it from the point of view of he's after God's own heart, meaning that God likes him. But why did God like him? Is it possible that after God's own heart means that he was chasing after God? You know, continually knocking on that door saying, God, you know, here I am. God, here I am. Right? God loved David. Why? Because God was chasing after him. And here we see that God is asking if my people will seek my face. And how do we do that? I mean, it's not my purpose today to tell you about prayer, because we know that, right? We pray, we are praying people, right? Bible study, we know about that. You know, you go to your Bible, you open the Bible, you read the Bible, and pray. As you're reading the scriptures, pray. Ask God, God, what are you telling me by these scriptures? Help me to understand. I don't understand this, right? Pray. Fasting. Quite often we look at fasting as not eating, right? Y'all remember those days? How many of you remember? The Day of Atonement, right? Sunrise to sunset. I remember I came into the church when I was 18 years old. Did I come or God dragged me in? When I came into the door, I was expecting lightning to come from heaven, but it didn't happen. So I was brought into the church at 18 years old, and I heard about this atonement. Give up food for one day. It was rough. Okay? So typically we look at fasting as giving up food. But reality is what fasting is, it's giving up whatever it is that comes between me and God. For some people, that's the video, right? I can't pray right now, God, because, you know, what's that game? Pokemon and all this type of stuff. What is it? Pokemon Go. Y'all be careful. Pokemon Go and Call of Duty. Hold on. Almost there. Right? Sometimes it means probably giving that up for one day so we could spend time with God. For some of us, a couple times in my lifetime, it had to be giving up my job. Okay? God is knocking on the door. Kenneth, I need to talk with you. Hold on, I'm busy. I got to go to work. Right? You say, oh, okay. All of a sudden, whoop, the work is gone. You got time for me now? Reality. It took 2 years. 2 years for me to get another job. Why? Because it took that period of time for me to really understand what is it was going on here. Second time it happened, had a nice job paying well, okay? And then what happens is that all of a sudden, I kept getting this nudge and I realized that God is calling me, but I'm too busy. And then I remembered what happened the last time. What did I do? I signed a letter of resignation. Here you go. Okay, Dad, what do you want? Here I am. Sometimes you got to give it up. Because what is more important, the job or the one who made you and gave you that opportunity to have that job? Right? Sometimes for some of us, it might mean giving up just a little bit, not a whole lot, a little bit of time. Because what tends to happen is that we want to do our due. We sit here. I just happen to be looking at the keyboard. I'm not picking on you, right? So we might be all into our music, and we're practicing because the church needs this song done, right? It's a new song. Oh, and we're going to be rocking on Sunday. And we spent so much time practicing that we forgot the one who made it possible to practice. God. So when it comes to fasting, I went off on a tangent there. I have a habit of doing that. So when it comes to fasting, that's one of the ways that we seek God, putting aside something personal of ours so that we could concentrate on that time with God. Make sense? And then we have meditation, just sitting. I mean, you don't have to do your fingers this and cross your feet and hum, okay? All meditation is you're sitting there and you're sort of like in a little semi-prayer conversation type thing. You're thinking about God's creation, what he's done for you, and you're interacting with God on a more informal basis, right? And then Christian fellowship, iron sharpening iron, coming together with each other and recognizing that you possess and living within you is the Holy Spirit, and we are connected. Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Holy Spirit is speaking to me. We're exchanging ideas. We are talking. We are talking about what God has done for us and thereby growing in fellowship and growing with God. Right? So he says that if my people would seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Uh-oh. He's talking to believers here. What do you mean turn from the wicked ways? I mean, didn't Christ do it all for us already? Because I hear this being spoken that Christ did it all. We don't have to do anything. That is wrong. Okay? Christ, what Christ did is Christ came, Christ died so that we don't have to. And now he says you have a choice. And what he wants now is, I'll tell you all that later. Okay? But the main part of this particular scripture I want to focus on for the rest of time that we have. How much time do I have? How much time do I have? 5 minutes? Hold 1 second, I'm getting a call. Okay. He told me take as much time as I want. Okay? You see, y'all can get connected too. How many of you all heard that message when it came? Beautiful. Beautiful, right? So the part I want to focus on is if my people will humble themselves, right? If my people will humble themselves, what is this humility? Because I've heard so much talk about humility, about being humble and things like that. But when I ask people, okay, so what is it? ¿Qué es esto? What is humility? I haven't found anyone to actually give me a definition of it. The most I've gotten is people say, well, you will know it when you see it. I mean, you can look at the person and see their behavior and know they're not humble, right? But that may be true, it may not be true, right? It's not my job to determine whether someone is humble. But what I'm here to say is, I'm going to give you a sort of a synopsis, right? It's a lot, it's big, right? As to what humility is based on the scripture, right? So here's how it starts. Humility is the recognition, or it involves the recognition that I was created for God's pleasure. Right? You'd find that in Genesis 1:31. After God created, he looked at all that he had created and he said, it was very good. Right? We were created for God's pleasure. Right? And what happened is that we sinned. So after God took the time and he created us and he's there enjoying us, right? We sinned. What is sin? Sin is a separation from God. We have separated ourselves from God through sin. Romans 3:23. We lived a life that was in opposition to God. And in being in opposition to God means we are opposite God. We are not in line with what God is doing. And hence, since we are not in line, we are off somewhere else doing our own thing. Right? And since we've sinned, we know that the wages of sin is death. So we deserve death. However, God, in his mercy, because of the grace that he has, because of the love that he has for us, he had decided that, you know what? Because of this covenant relationship I have with them. Remember we spoke earlier about the breaking of the bread and the wine. Because I love you so much, I will come and I will live on earth. So Christ came to earth, John 1 verse 14. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. Right? He lived as a man, Hebrews 4 verse 5, was in all points tempted just as we were, but without sin. And therefore, when it came time for him to die on the cross, what did he actually do? He died so that we can live. You know, the scripture talks about, you know, Christ dying so that we can live. That even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Right? Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It sounds like a cliche, and over the years it's become a cliche. Right? But when we look at it and we look at it more closely, I am a dead man walking. I am dead. There is absolutely nothing that I can do without Christ. Because what happens? He paid the penalty. He bought my life. Right? We know the Apostle Paul talked about being a slave to Christ. Right? That's what we are. He purchased us. We are owned by him. And there's absolutely nothing that we can do without him. What is humility? Humility is the recognition, right, of who God is, who Christ is, what he has done on our behalf, what he's done for us, the recognition and the acknowledgement and acceptance that we are owned by him. We are owned by him. My life belongs to Christ. As Paul said, I no longer live, but it is Christ who lives in me. When we come to the point where we recognize that we are absolutely nothing without God, when we come to the point where we recognize that it is only through God that we have our existence, that everything we eat, every breath of air that we take, every job that we got fired from, right? Every person that we have a relationship with, everything that we have, every dollar in the bank, amen, right? Every single piece of food in the cabinet, every piece of land that we own, right? Every computer chip that we might have, right? Every, what's that watch? Invictus, is that how it's pronounced? In what? Invicta, I don't have one, right? Every Invicta or Rolex that we own, every single thing, when we come to the realization that that is all because of God, then we can say that that's humility. Recognizing who we are in relationship to God and recognizing that we ain't nothing, right? That is humility, okay? Now, I mentioned that the life that we live is in Jesus. Okay? Jesus is the only one. Jesus is the only one that can take our pain. And it's interesting now that if you look at the Western world, we don't really have a need for Jesus, do we? Because when we're hungry, where do we go? We go to the grocery, right? We pick up a bottle of milk, you know, something to eat, and we go home, right? If we get a little toothache, we don't need to pray to God. What do? We go to the dentist, and he pulls it, right? We get a headache, we don't need to pray. We don't need God. Why? Because we can go and get some type of aspirin or something and take two and call the doctor in the morning, right? We don't need God. And that's unfortunate. Now, I'm not saying that because we live in the Western world that everybody here, you know, everyone in the Western world doesn't have God. But you see, we've grown up in a society where we've gone so accustomed to going out and paying for what we need. We pay for the food, so therefore it's because of the money that we have the food. We pay for healthcare, so therefore it's because of the money we have healthcare, right? We pay for everything. So hence the reason why money has become the Lord of our lives and not Jesus. And all Jesus is saying, listen, I need your time. And I need my people to humble themselves, right? To humble themselves so that I can work with them. Humble themselves, pray, and put aside their evil ways. And he says, I will make my place with you. I will answer your prayer. What is the prayer that we need to pray? Right? Is there a prayer that we need to pray? Now, we've seen so many prayers in the past, right? And people sort of like hang on to this specific prayer. If you pray this prayer, then it's going to be good for you. If you pray the prayer of Jabez, you all remember that? The prayer of Jabez. You pray the prayer of Jabez, you're going to get financially secured. It's not about a method. Amen. It's about your relationship with God, right? And every time I talk about this, I always have to, pardon me, I got to get personal, right? I've learned to pray since I had kids. Okay? Right? Yeah. People who have kids are some praying people. It doesn't mean that if you don't have kids, you're not praying. Okay? But then what I realize is that, do I know when Michael wants something? Yes, I do. Michael doesn't have to come and ask me. I know what he wants, even before he asks. Does that sound familiar? Okay. But then what happens when every single time, you know, we go to God, and the only time we go to God is when we want something. Dad, give me this. Dad, give me that. After a while, how would you feel if your kid just came up to you, right? And the only thing that they come to you for is because they want something. That would be kind of stinky, right? It's like, hate that. But then what if they come to you and they build a relationship with you, right? What if they come to you and they want to talk with you just because of who you are? Wouldn't that create a better relationship, right? Because God already knows what we want even before we ask. Right? What does God want from us? He wants us. He wants it all. He paid for it. Right? He paid for it. You see, the problems of the world could only be solved one way. You see, I think we have a little bit of a problem here when we talk about, you know, we have racial problems. No, we don't have racial problems, people. We don't have economic problems. We don't have health problems. We don't have any problems with violence. We don't have drug problems. People, we don't have those problems. The problem that we have is a problem of the heart. It's a human problem. Because God says that if my people will pray, if my people will humble themselves, what happens? As a result of humility, what happens is that we are allowing God the opportunity to dwell in us, right? What we are doing actually is we are making room. We are saying, God, okay, I want all of you. Not part, not some. I want you to dwell in me fully, 100%. Because sometimes we say, well, okay, God, take it all. Accept this and accept that. No, I want to hold on to some of this, right? I want to hold on to some of that. And what God says is that I want it all. I want you fully. I don't want any conditions. I don't want you to give me a 5% or 10%. I want it all, right? And because of that, we have to submit to God, right? We have to humble ourselves. We have to literally be willing to surrender everything, right? everything. Are you willing to surrender? Have you surrendered everything? Have you surrendered all? If you've surrendered all, or you're about to surrender all, or you're willing to surrender all, I just want you to repeat after me. I surrender all. Talk to your dad. I surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you, withholding nothing, withholding nothing, withholding nothing. Holding nothing, surrender. I surrender all to you. Everything, everything, everything I give to you. Withholding nothing, holding nothing. Give it all up. Withholding nothing. My Savior forever. Could we sing that part? King Jesus, my Savior forever. King Jesus, my Savior forever. I give it all to you. Everything I give to you, withholding nothing, withholding nothing, withholding nothing, withholding nothing. Surrender. I surrender all to you. Everything, everything I give to you. Surrender. I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you. Withholding nothing. Withholding nothing, withholding nothing, holding nothing. Give it all up, give it all up. Withholding nothing, withholding nothing. Surrender, Lord God. Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son Jesus Christ, who came to this earth and who died for us, giving us, Father, a way back, shedding his blood, Father, so that we can live. Thank you. We surrender to you, God, all that we have, all that we are. We surrender, great God in heaven, knowing fully that you rule in our hearts. Dwelling us, great God in heaven. Speak to us. Speak to us, great God, so that we will know where you're working. Work in us, great God, because we know that prayer can change me. Change our desire, great God in heaven, and give us a healthy desire. A desire, Father, for your people. A desire to love your people in Harvey. A desire, Father, to reach out to your people in Harvey. A desire to embrace your people in Harvey, great God in heaven. Teach us, show us. Bring us to that point, great God in heaven, where we recognize who we are. We are your people. And we humbly come before you, great God, recognizing that you are our God. And that there's nothing, great God in heaven, nothing that can stand in the way between your love and us. Recognizing, great God in heaven, that it's only through you that we live, that we have our existence, that everything that we have, everything that we are, belongs to you. And we release it to you, great God in heaven. Holy are you, great God. Holy, holy, holy. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we thank you. And we humbly submit and place everything that we are at the feet of the cross. And all of God's people said, amen. 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 Just by before service, we were given a card here. I just want to read it. I think it's fitting at this time. And this card is from Julie Scoggins, one of the family members. I mean, you can leave physically, but you're not going anywhere, because your heart will always be right here with us. And she says, hi, family. You're supposed to tell her hi now. With warmest thanks, grateful heart, and deep appreciation for your thoughtfulness. Thank you for the gift. Miss you all. Love, Julie and Norris. And I think this is something to celebrate. Julie is not here with us. She went off to do other things in the labor, in the field of God. And one of the things that I really appreciate is when people volunteer and stand up and say, here I am, Lord, send me. And in looking through the list of volunteers, I mean, basically everybody in this church volunteers for stuff. That's cool. So I praise God and I thank you all. Thank you all for the work that you're doing in the fellowship. Thank you all for the work that you're doing in the service of God, in serving each other here, and in the work that you all are doing out in the community. The announcement that I'm about to make would sort of tie into that, in that in the next few weeks, we'll be having a whole bunch of meetings. Why? Because we need to be putting together plans for what are we going to be doing and how are we going to be participating with God out there in the community. This past week, I've met with quite a few people, and oh, you all got ideas. Right? So what I'm asking is that if you got ideas, don't wait for me to call you, right? Call me, call my wife, right? And share your ideas. Tell us what God is doing in your life. And what I want to do also is that I want to acknowledge God. I want to show appreciation for God, for some of the things that he's doing in your life, in the life of other people. Because if our work is to be doing the work of God here in Harvey, or wherever you are, in your household, at your job, if you're doing the work of God, there are fruit that's being born, right? If you're doing the work of God, then there are blessings that's coming as a result of it. Lives are going to be changed, and lives are being changed right now as you do the work of God. We want to hear about that. These are things that we need to be celebrating, because how else do we know that we are being successful? Not that it's our job, because God gives the increase, but once God gives us some type of success, we want to hear about it, and we would give the recognition. We would give God the recognition. So in the name of Jesus Christ and by the authority of God, I want to say thank you for everything. I want to place a blessing on you right now for the work that you'll be doing this week. Lord God, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray a blessing on this entire congregation. We pray, Father, that this week, no matter where your people go, that you would give them the opportunities to spread your word, that you would give them the opportunities, Father, to reach to others and express and demonstrate the love that you have shown to us, great God. Show us one person this week. Show each of us one person this week that you want us to reach. And we pray, great God in heaven, we pray for this. In the name and by the authority of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Go forth and conquer.